Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this morning's worship. We bless your name because you brought us together so you can bless us. And we pray that all that we have been searching for, the peace of mind, satisfaction and contentment, and the blessing of the Lord for spirit, soul and body, we pray that you'll put upon every one of us in Jesus' name. That as we're here this morning, you'll satisfy every desire. You'll satisfy every longing of our hearts. Lord, we know you will do it. Bless us tremendously in the worship of this very day. In Jesus' name, I pray. From Isaiah chapter 34, I'm reading verse 16. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. Note those words. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. I'm looking at Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17 verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. Note those words again. He shall read therein all the days of his life. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Know those words. Till I come, give attention to reading, the reading of the word. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Last Sunday I spoke to you on the Bible, God's message to man. And today I want to speak to you on the Bible reading habit. The Bible reading habit. There's something very important about the Word of God, about the Bible, that except we read, we will not be able to find out why the Lord has given us the Bible. And so it is very important for us to consider from the Word of God the habit of reading and studying the Bible. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's why the book is so very important. You remember last week I spoke about the preeminence of the Bible, the purpose of the Bible, and the power in the Bible. It's the nature of human beings to neglect or to abuse gifts that are given by God. And one of the greatest gifts who have been given by God is His Word, His revelation, the inspired truth contained in the Bible. To have the Bible is one thing. So you have the Bible as a gift from the hand of God, from the mind of God, from the very heart of God. But to read it and to understand it, to believe it and to practice it is another thing. Because of this very important thing, I'll be considering today reasons for Bible reading. Then two, I'll be considering resolutions on Bible reading. What are the reasons for Bible reading? You need this. One, there is no book in existence written in such a manner as the Bible. No book in existence written by anyone, available anywhere, that is comparable to the Bible and that has been written like the Bible has been written. In that passage we have just read, 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. All scripture is given like a gift by inspiration of God, literally breathed out from the heart of God. And you have in your hand the very breath, the very mind, the very revelation, the facts that are coming out of the courts of heaven. And it says it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, and for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. For one purpose, that the child of God, the man of God, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And it is written for our learning. There is something to learn in this book. All you need for life, all you need for eternity, written here already. And it's for you to learn. It's not for you to just put under your pillow. It's not for you to put in the court of your child. It is not for you to put at the window of the house. It is not for you to demonstrate and just put it on the table. It's for you to open the book of God, the word of God, and read and get the revelations for yourself in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. These things that were written in the word of God, all the pages of the Bible, given by inspiration, coming out of the mind of God, they're written for our learning. How can you ever learn if you never read? How can you ever benefit from it if you never open it? How can you dig of the treasures of the honey that is in there without ever reading and understanding? That's why it's important for you that you must read, you must assimilate, you must get everything that the Lord is giving you in this word. Number two, reasons for Bible reading. There is no knowledge absolutely needful for man's salvation except in knowledge of the things which are to be found in the Bible. Of all the things you can learn in the world, of all the things you can read in any other book, of all the things you can hear speakers or preachers talk about, there is nothing so absolutely necessary, so absolutely essential for your salvation, for your eternal happiness in heaven, except the knowledge you have in the Bible, in the Word of God. We're told that in the last days, knowledge will increase. Many books will be written, and yet there is no book comparable to the Bible. In Daniel chapter 12, Daniel chapter 12, and in verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge shall be increased. Schools will multiply. Colleges will multiply. Universities and institutions of learning will multiply. And those who are rushing into those places will be running to and fro, just wanting to get into a place of learning. And yet I need to tell you this. All the education a man's head can receive will never save a soul from hell. The only truth, the only revelation that saves you from hell, that gives you happiness here in life and in the world to come, they're the truths you find in the Bible. A man may be prodigious in learning and yet never be saved. A man may think to know, may feel that he knows everything there is to be known about the stars and the moon and space and earth and rocks and rivers, and know everything that you can think you need to know about human beings, about animals, about secular things, about commercial things. If you do not have a knowledge of the Bible, you'll go to hell. Because all that knowledge you get from the institutions of learning, all those things that you know from anywhere they will not be able to save the soul. I want you to look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 33 from verse 32. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. What did he say about, speak about in those proverbs and songs and the things he wrote? He spake of trees. Will that save your soul? That you learn all the botany, all the biology, that you learn all the natural sciences, and from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth up on the wall. And he spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. With all that knowledge about material things, about the world, about animals, about trees, will all that knowledge save the soul? You know it will not. And yet, on the other hand, a man may seem to be ignorant. Ignorant about things of this world. And yet, if he knows the Bible, he can be saved. Think about it. A man that goes through all the books of the libraries in the world, and he doesn't go through the Bible, he is unsaved, unregenerate, and lost. Think about it. A man that may not know all those other things in the world, and yet he knows the truth of the Bible, and is saved here in life, and is saved in the other world, eternally saved. Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 4. Acts of the Apostles chapter 4. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And he took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see that? Ignorant, unlearned men. They didn't know the psychology that you may know. They didn't know the sciences that you may know. They didn't know the histories of the world that you may know. They didn't know the arithmetic or the mathematics that you may know. But they knew Jesus. They knew the Bible. They knew the thing that had been breathed out of the heart of God. All scripture that has been given by inspiration, they knew what they needed to know. And they knew enough to save the soul. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had said, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no salvation in any other book. There is no salvation in any other place. There is no salvation in any other person but the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. There is no other book where you can find salvation. All the books that are written by man, there is no salvation in any other except this book that is coming out of the hand, out of the mind, out of the heart of God. And there is no salvation in any other place except where Christ is. Except in Calvary, where Christ has shed his blood for the salvation of man. And there is no salvation in any other person except in the name of Jesus. For there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That means then you ought to choose that book, believe that book, read that book, and study that book, because therein lies your salvation. In Luke chapter 10 and from verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You see that? Others will do other things. Others will concentrate on other things. But she, Mary, she sat down at Jesus' feet and heard the words of Jesus. What were those words? What's of revelation? What's about heaven? What's about the kingdom of God? What's about eternity? What's about the spirit of God? What's about new life? What's coming out by inspiration, revelations from the mind of God? But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, what's your name? Joseph, Joseph, what's your name? Mary, Mary, your own type of Mary, what's your name? Michael, Michael, what's your name? Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're too careful and cumbered about many, many other books. And you are not taking the only book, the Word of God, the revelation of the Most High, that will do your soul good. Mary, Mary, Martha, Martha, Joseph, Joseph, whoever you are, put in your name there. You are cumbered about many things. But hear the words of Jesus. One thing is needful. The revelations from on high, the knowledge of the Almighty, the word of the living God, the thing that is breathed out of the mind and the heart of God. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I don't know about you. I want to choose that good thing. Something that is profitable here in life and profitable in eternity. And Jesus said, if you are cumbered about, careful about many other things, you read this, you read this, you read that, you read that, you never read the Bible. You never study the Word of God. Jesus is saying, you come today and choose the good thing which shall not be taken away from you. Number three, there is no book in existence which contains such important matter as the Bible. There's no book in existence anywhere to be found which contains important matters as the Bible, the Word of God. Where do you find the Word of salvation? No other place. Where do you find the story of Calvary? No other place. Where do you find the way to eternal life? There is no other place. Where do you find the remedy for all your sickness of the soul, of the mind, of the spirit, of the body? No other place. Where do you find how to have happiness in your home, happiness in your life, usefulness that will count in eternity? There is no other place. Where do you read a fact, a truth, a revelation about heaven, about life after death? No other place. Where do you have a clear picture of the heritage of the children of God, the inheritance of the people of God? What eyes have never seen, they couldn't write about that. What ears have never heard, they couldn't write about that. It's only in the book of God, in the Word of God, that you see those things that eyes have never seen, that you hear those things that ears have never heard, the things that are prepared of God for His own children, for His own people. And there is no other place to read the truthful fact about hell for the people that are lost in sin and die in their sins. No other place to find the precious promises of the Lord, the blessed hope of the believer. And there are many things you find in this Word of God, in the Bible, that you cannot find in any other place. That's why Jesus said to His own disciples, that's why He said to all the people that are following Him, that blessed are their eyes. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All the wise people of the world, they don't know this. All the prudent in the world, they don't know this. All the authors of those other books who are reading, they don't have this revelation. All things are delivered unto me of the Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. No man, no writer, no author of any other book knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. You never can know the Father without this Bible. You never will know the Son without this Bible. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. And does he reveal the Father to those people that have written those library books and those encyclopedias? No. They have knowledge of the things of the world that cannot save the soul. They have knowledge of the things of earth that will not carry you from the grave all through to a blessed hope in eternity. And he turned him unto his disciples, and he said privately, blessed are your eyes which see the things ye see. Those who read the Bible, blessed are your eyes. Those who hear the word of God, blessed are your eyes. Why? Because there is no book in existence that contains such important matter as the Bible. Number four. There is no book in existence which has produced such wonderful effect on mankind at large as the Bible. I told you last week that this Bible has changed wicked men, sinful people, callous men, turned them around, and it's made them soft, made them good, and they are saved. They became new creatures as a result of listening to the word of God. There is no book in existence, my friend, that has such wonderful effect, influence, and impact on mankind as the Bible, the word of God. How can you dare neglect such a gift from God? You never read the Bible. This is the word that the apostles took in the early days, and they turned the world upside down. You know what they had? They didn't have the knowledge of the world. They had two things. One, the scriptures. Two, the spirit. The spirit in the heart, the scripture in the hand. And they went into all the heathen world, and they turned the world upside down. It brought light where there was darkness. It brought peace where there was war. It brought a change where there was corruption. It brought people to become real human beings rather than animals and beasts that behave as if they were not worth being called the image of God. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 6. When they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." They did that by the word of God. And if the word of God could do that at that time, the word of God will still do that today. But if you throw the Bible into a corner, if you neglect the Bible, and you are holding on to the learnings of men, to the traditions of men, you'll find that darkness will take over your heart. Darkness will take over your family. Darkness will take over your very life when you neglect the Bible, the word of God. It happened to Israel that way. They were carrying on with other things, and they lost the word of God. They lost the book of God. They hid the word of God, the book of God, in a corner. They didn't read that book. They didn't study that book. They didn't believe that book. They didn't even discover that book. It brought darkness and error and confusion and death into the whole nation. And it's still happening today, where the Bible is neglected. In a church where the Bible is neglected, many of those churches out there neglecting the Bible, that they will not preach out of the word of God. They take all the time either singing or raising money or talking about building or talking about other material things or just settling quarrels, and they will not go into the word of God. Darkness comes into such a church. Look at all those huts by the bar beach. There's so much darkness there because there is no word of God. There's no Bible. Look at all those brick walls where they have labels of church. There's so much darkness there because there is no Bible. And look at those families. Look at those homes. You'll find confusion. You'll find darkness. You'll find error. You'll find immorality. You'll find unfaithfulness because the word of God is not there. Bring in the Bible and the word, and light will come in. Bring in the word of God and peace will come in. Bring in the word of God, the knowledge of how we ought to live will come in. Bring in the word of God, harmony and unity and love will come in. Look at 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22 from verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." I have found it. I have discovered it. What Israel kept away and we did not read all these years, I've discovered it. I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And he read it. That's the important thing. You have got the book in your hand. You have got the book in your house. And he read it. You must read it with all your heart, with all your mind. You must open it and read, because the promises for eternal life, they are there. Promises on salvation, they are there. promises on holiness, they are there. The power to live a life glorifying to God, all those things are there. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have declared and have delivered it unto the hands of them that do the work, and that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. King, rich man, an educated man, enlightened man, you are not enlightened about heaven if you don't read this book. You are not enlightened about God if you don't read this book. Your civilization is limited to the earth if you don't read this book. But if you want to know of the things in the great beyond, if you want to know when all the knowledge of this world, all the knowledge of history, all the knowledge of science, all the knowledge of politics, all the knowledge that you can get in the libraries of the world, at the time you die, all the knowledge will be valueless, completely useless.
Please, turn the cassette over.
The moment you are going through River Jordan, the moment you are going through the chilly, cold waters of death, the moment you put your finger in the mouth and you say, what can I have that will comfort my soul? What can I have that will lead me beyond this place into the region beyond? At that point, all the knowledge, all the certificates, all the letters after your name, you forget them. And the thing you need, the knowledge you need, the revelation you need, the parts you need that will just transport you and translate you, you fly on the wings of the promises of God. He that comes to me, I will in no wise reject. And all those that are called by my name, I'll be their God. They shall be my people. I'll walk in them. They'll walk in me. They'll live with me forever. Let not your heart be troubled. And be not afraid. Believe in me. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If you have never read the Bible, you will not know that on the day of death. All that is before you will be darkness and confusion and unbelief and sorrow and pain. And then you enter into that darkness is everlasting darkness. But you know, when you discover the book of God, the work with the word of God, you bring it into your soul, into your spirit, into your mind, and you read that word of God, all your darkness will be dispelled. And so the Lord is challenging us today that we will not relegate this book to the background. Number five, there is no book in existence that can do so much for everyone who reads it rightly as the Bible. The grand instrument by which the soul is converted. And this is the chief means by which we are built up and established in the faith. Look at Psalm 19. And I'm reading there in verse 7. Psalm 19 verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. No other instruments for conversion. No other word that can bring conversion. The law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the revelations in the book of God, so perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple or the foolish. Number six, the Bible is the only rule by which all questions of doctrine and duty can be tried. Satan is cunning in deception. And if you don't have the word of God, you are defeated already. Error and falsehood are common in the world. If you are not reading the Bible, you are snared already. Everyone stands the risk of damnable mistakes. We need a counselor. We need a guide. We need an advisor. We need a rule of faith and practice and all that you find in the Bible. The Bible is the only answer. Every question that comes to your mind about the world that now is and about the world that is to come, all that you need to check up is, how readest thou? What does the word of God say? To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this book, it is because there is no truth in them. Look at Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. Every time there is a confusion, come back to the law and to the testimony. To the word of God. Every time there is a doubt, come back to the word of God. Every time you have a question in your mind, come back to the Word of God. Every time it appears that falsehood and error are flying everywhere, come back to the Word of God. And you say to the law and to the testimony, if those people you are listening to, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no truth in them. The Word of God is so important. Number 7, the Bible is the only book which can comfort a man in the last hours of his death. A man may live as long as Methuselah, but the end will come. A man may look like Nebuchadnezzar, as if he's the monarch and the emperor, and there's nobody who can touch him. His word is a decree, but the end is coming. A man may live like Pharaoh and will say, who is that God? But the end is coming. A man may live like Jezebel, as if that she is a dainty, delicate woman, so beautiful she'll never lose her beauty, but the end is coming. And at that time, when the end comes to the man and to the woman, at that time when life is ending, and when you are the very last hours and the very last minutes of life, and you are going through the pains and the pangs of death, nothing will comfort you except the Word of God. Money will not comfort you at that time. Worldly pleasures will not appease your conscience at that time. And it will not stop the achings of a troubled heart. There is only one fountain of comfort for a man drawing near to his end, and that is the Bible. How wise you will be if you read the Word of God. How wise you will be if you take the Word of God to yourself and embrace it. Now, resolutions on Bible reading. If you can read, but you don't read the Bible regularly, your neglected Bible is an evidence that you do not love God. You do not love your soul. You are not prepared for eternity. You are not thinking of going to heaven. You can read, and you have not learned, and you have not read the Bible. It's an evidence that you do not care about heaven. And where you don't want to find yourself is where you'll find yourself on the last day. If you cannot read, and you cannot, because of the salvation hidden in the Bible, because of life eternal hidden in the Bible, because of the precious promises hidden in the Bible, you cannot read, and you cannot, because of those precious things hidden in the Bible, go and learn how to read immediately, only to be able to read the Bible, then you don't love your soul. You don't love heaven. You don't love God, because you are not making provision for your soul's welfare, the health of a man's body may be known by his appetite, so also the health of a man's soul may be known by his treatment of the Bible. To please God and to use this gift, the Bible, profitably, there are 7 things you must do. Number 1, you begin reading the Bible this very day. You have been starved of this bread from heaven, and this light coming from on high has not shone before you. Your spirit has been living in the dark prison, in the dark dungeon, where there is no light, where there is no knowledge. And now the window is opened, and a finger is pointing at the source of light, the Bible, the Word of God. What do? You immediately begin today to read the Bible. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. When does the child begin to take milk? The very day that child is born. When does a man eat? The very time he is hungry. And if you are healthy, you'll be hungry. Hungry of the bread of life. Hungry of the word coming from the Most High God. And this is the very day to begin that. And Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. If you read newspapers, every day, but you do not read the Bible every day, you know what you are saying? You are exalting the newspaper above the Bible. Not only that, you are exalting those editors above the writers of the Bible. Not only that, you are exalting the opinions of men above God. Not only that, you are making those men your guide, your God, and God is nothing to you. That's the meaning. But when you know that this Bible contains the bread of life, the word of life, and the word that will transport you from earth to eternity, this very day you will begin reading the Bible. Number two, you read the Bible with an earnest desire to understand. Not just reading the Bible, with an earnest desire, a consuming passion, a deep interest to understand what you are reading. Because the benefit is in the understanding. Look at Psalm 119 from verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. A person that is preparing for eternity, a person that appreciates this gift of God, the book of God, the word of God, he reads the Bible with an earnest desire to understand. Number three, you read the Bible with childlike faith and humility. As you open the Bible, you open your heart and you say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." You resolve to receive every statement of faith heartily, whether you like it or not. And you don't come judging the Bible, criticizing the Bible. Who are you? Do you know better than God? You take the word of God and say, "Lord, I am blind, but you can see." You say, "God, here I am ignorant, but you have the knowledge." You say, "God, I am lost, but the word of God will find me out." You read the word of God. You take the word of God as a child. In Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 and 3. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And in Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Mark 10:15. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein." For you to be able to enter into the realm of the revelation of God in the word of God, you receive it with humility and faith as a child. Number four, you read the Bible in a spirit of obedience and self-application. You are not reading it for your wife. You are not reading it to correct your children. You are not reading it to rebuke your husband. You are not reading it to train the workers. You are not reading it to exhort another person. You are reading it with a decision for self-application and for obedience to the word of God. You know, there are people that read this only to point at other people, only to talk to other people, but for themselves they will not read. They will not study. But you see, in Job chapter 34, verses 31 and 32, when you read the Bible, here should be your attitude. "Surely it is meet, it is necessary to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore. That which I see not, teach thou me. And if I have done iniquity, I will do no more." That ought to be your attitude whenever you come to the Bible. Whenever you come to the house of God and hear the Bible read, and the Bible interpreted, and the Bible applied. "That which I see not, teach thou me. Teach thou me. And if I have done iniquity, I will do no more." Number five, read the Bible daily. Every day. Make it a part of everyday's business to read and to meditate on some portion of the word of God. Like Israel of old, gather your manna fresh every morning. In Job chapter 23, Job chapter 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He was saying, before breakfast, there will be Bible. I've esteemed its word. I've exalted the Bible. I've exalted the revelation coming out of the mind of God more than my necessary food, my necessary breakfast, my necessary lunch, my necessary supper, because I know that this bread of life will feed my soul and my spirit. Therefore, I give it the first place. And how many people will eat for a whole week and never read the Bible for a whole week? How many people are running after the food that perishes, but they are not running after the food that will grant them life eternal? Number 6, read all the Bible. And read it in an orderly way. Go systematically as you read the Bible, as you study the Bible, because I've read it to you over and over again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all scripture is profitable. When you read the Bible, don't do like some people do. They run through the Bible without receiving any benefit. It's like the student going to the library and then taking every book out of the shelf, opening all the pages and reading all the titles, and he says, I finished one book today, and he never got anything, and he never passes any examination. Read the Bible to benefit. If it's only about 5 verses, read and meditate and believe and practice. If it's only a single chapter, read and study and meditate and believe and embrace and practice what you are reading. Because that is the only way you will find the word of God profitable unto you. Number 7, read the Bible with Christ continually in view. Every time you study the scriptures, discover the Lord in the scriptures. Discover his grace. Discover his power. Discover his commandment. Discover his love. Discover his requirement for your life. Discover the way of life. Discover the way of sacrifice and the way of consecration and the way of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the Bible with Christ in view. See in the Bible that he is your Savior. See in the Bible that he is your shepherd. See in the Bible that he is your guide. See in the Bible that he is your master. See in the Bible that is your lawgiver. See in the Bible that he is the one that is leading you by the hand. See in the Bible as he as your healer and deliverer. See in your Bible that Christ is the one that will take you from this place and take you to heaven. See him as the all in all. See Christ every time. His grace, his power, his truth, his love. Whenever you read in John chapter 5 and verse 39. Search the scriptures. Read the scriptures. Compare the scriptures. Study the scriptures. And believe the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. The primary object of all scripture is to testify of Jesus Christ in his manifold office. Savior, Lord, Master, Guide, and the one that takes you from here to life eternal. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Believe and practice what you learn. It will keep you alive. It will comfort you at death. It will crown you in eternity. You need the Bible. We'll all rise up now and talk to the Lord. Oh Lord, I'll start reading the Bible. I'll start studying the Bible. I'll start giving myself completely and continually to the word of the Lord. Arise and commit yourself to the habit of daily Bible reading. Every believer needs it. Everyone that doesn't want to perish at last, we need it. Open your mouth, open your heart, and give the Bible a conspicuous place and a proper time in your life.
In Jesus' name we pray.